This is the Todd Wright Lightning Playoff Podcast. Thank you very much for tuning in. I am recording this podcast literally seconds and into minutes, of course, following the Lightning's Game 3 victory in Boston against the Bruins. When we last left you, the Lightning were down 1-0 in that series to the Bruins after a lot of poor play in the previous four games for the Lightning. It was a Game 2 where they outworked, out-hit, outplayed Boston, and then Game 3, much the same as Game 2. Halfway there, two victories in a row for the Lightning to put an end to that run of three bad games out of four, and remember the bad games near the end of the regular season. All right, so the good things that come out of these last two games, not only do the Lightning have a 2-1 series lead now and playing with a bit of house money, going into Game 4 in Boston on Friday night, but also the play of Andre Palat, Tyler Johnson, Braden Point, that line, the physical nature of the Ryan Callahan line, certainly in Game 3, the play of the Paquette, Kunitz, Callahan line stood out. And Andre Vasilevsky obviously played very well. He gave up a cheap short side goal late in Game 2 to make things a little bit more interesting than they needed to be. I won't say he was tested on a lot of quality chances because, as NBCSN pointed out in their coverage, the Lightning playing with an early lead. Their coverage down low was extremely good around Vasilevsky, something they didn't do in Game 1 and letting Game 1 get away, letting too many talented offensive players find space to almost work one-on-one on Andre Vasilevsky in that Game 1. Cirelli drew three penalties, also scored a goal. Really might be the story of Game 3, and since March 1st has been one of the best stories on the Tampa Bay Lightning team. Playing too good to be sent back down and playing too good to be kept out of the lineup, and even in the third period of Game 3, receiving double shift attention with Paquette out for penalty purposes. So you can't say enough about Cirelli and what he has done since making his debut for the Lightning back on March 1st, and especially with his Game 3 performance. We said coming into the series that Boston can be their own worst enemy, and they were in Game 3 in the sense of a couple of things reared their ugly head that hurts Boston. One, they're not ready to play from the opening faceoff. They were not. The Lightning jumped out very quickly with a couple of quick Andre Palat goals, including one on the first shot of the game after a very strong opening shift where the Bruins were clearly trying to set the tone, turn on the onslaught, reverse what happened in Game 2, and then the Lightning get free around Tuukka Rask on a misplayed puck by one of the Bruins' lesser defensemen who made more mistakes later in the game that didn't ultimately lead to goals, but still not a good game for that particular Bruins defenseman who basically lost the puck when he controlled it with his hand pad. Then he skated away from it. That left a two-on-one that Palat converted for the first goal. And then Hedman firing one on net that Palat redirected for a quick second goal. And really a 2-0 Lightning lead that they never looked back from. Boston made it interesting with a goal at 2-1 and then the Cirelli goal to make it 3-1. And ultimately the final margin of victory was 4-1. We'll get to that because I want a huge asterisk on that fourth goal as it relates to who was on the ice and who scored it. So as far as the physical play, the intense play, being ready to play from the opening faceoff. It's the Lightning who have taken control of the series. And they have been able to put behind them not only the bad play in game one, but the bad play in the two of the last three games of the New Jersey Devils series. And there's a lot to like about what especially three lines of Lightning forwards are doing. And in terms of coverage on the back end, it was very good down low around Andrei Vasilevsky. Really top to bottom with virtually all of the defensemen protecting that 3-1 lead throughout game three. And you can credit them for a lot of that in game two as well, but it was even better in game three. So the fourth goal was an empty netter. It was scored from center ice by Steven Stamkos. So that's Stamkos' second goal in about, 20 games. Again, empty netter. So put an asterisk on it. Kucherov was on the ice for it with him. That's Kucherov's first point in the series. Put an asterisk on that. For most of this game, my eyes were drawn to 91 and 86, kind of wondering when they were going to do anything. Playing like if they were going to play like their teammates or not, if they were going to play intensely, if they were going to skate hard, if they were going to win 50-50 battles, if they were going to make smart decisions. I didn't see much of it. There were times where Kucherov had offensive opportunities. He did not convert, and on a couple, he missed badly. As far as Stamkos is concerned, it's been said before about Stamkos, if he's not scoring, he doesn't offer you much else. Well, guess what? Last, 12 games of the regular season, and now we're 8 games in the playoffs. He's not scoring. So what is going on here? Especially when you're protecting leads in games like this. I'm not looking at the actual ice time, but especially there in the third period at 3-1, I was even wondering why Kucherov and Stamkos were on the ice. Why? What point is there? Sure, you don't want to lose them. You don't want them disinterested, but they don't appear to be that interested as it is. Many have pointed the finger at this Lightning number one line and saying that's the problem against these Bruins. That because Miller hasn't been playing on that line that long for most of the losses the last 2 years against the Bruins. It's been Kucherov and Stamkos. So is there an issue here? Is there some sort of problem that Kucherov and Stamkos don't like playing against the Bruins? That the Bruins present too physical of a matchup? What is the issue? And look, the Lightning are up 2-1 in the series, but we're taking a look big picture here. The contributions of two of the top offensive performers in the National Hockey League are virtually non-existent in this series. Stamkos now for about 20 games. Kucherov obviously was there for the New Jersey series. And at this point, why don't you yourself, if you recorded game three, watch their shifts? Why don't you watch them taking some things for granted in their own zone? Where a Steven Stamkos would be in there, and he won his share of draws, and then he'd skate up ice. Meanwhile, the puck is still down in his own end, sort of taking for granted, well, you guys clear it out and get it up to me. Meanwhile, the puck never gets out of their own end because Stamkos has already taken off up ice. Kucherov was criticized on the NBCSN telecast, rightfully one or two times for just not going at it that hard, not getting into a lot of battles. Certainly, I said not winning a lot of battles. They just are not playing well. And at this point, the Lightning's 2-1 lead in the series has a lot to do with a lot of players not wearing 86 and 91. So this is an interesting situation for the coaching staff. Can you win this series without getting something from your number one line? Is at this point, it's like, well, do you break them up? I don't know. I don't know if you break them up, because if you break them up, then if they don't individually pick up their level of play, and let's face it, they're offensive type players. So what are you going to do? If you're going to split them up, then, and they play the same, then they're going to basically, you're hurting a second line. You know, I was talking to some Lightning fans the other day. I said, well, maybe you put Kucherov, you know, maybe you put the triplets back together. Okay, let's play along with that. So you're going to put Kucherov with Palat and Johnson. Really? You're going to take Braden Point off that line? No, I don't think you do that. Where would you put Stamkos? Where it doesn't negatively affect the line you put him on. So right now, while the Lightning are in a good position in the series and have certainly played to the level where they deserve both the victories in Game 2 and Game 3, Cooch and Stamkos have really nothing to do with it. And, you know, just the fact that number one line gets to put up, you know, a point on the stat sheet for that empty net goal to make it 4-1. Yeah, I don't really see it that way. You got to look between the numbers there. So go back and look at some of their shifts yourself. If you recorded the game, if you want to go back and watch it again, and certainly on Friday, I'd be paying a lot of attention to their shifts when they are on the ice. You know, the Lightning had the luxury of, you know, I worked with former Lightning play-by-play man Larry Hirsch, and, you know, Larry had some things that people liked and some things that he didn't. But, you know, Larry often said if the Lightning were up a couple goals in the game, said, well, they don't need to score any more goals. Technically, that's true. If you can keep the puck out of your own net, you win. So in games where the Lightning are leading like this one tonight and they're protecting a two-goal lead in the third period, I'll admit it, why were Cooch and Stamkos even out there? Now, sure, if suddenly they click and they get invested and find some open ice and score a goal, yeah, you put the game away. But what's more important? Taking care of things in your own end? Getting the puck out of your own zone, something that winning those battles on the boards. These are things they're not doing. And no one ever really said they were that good at it. And right now they don't seem interested in it. So if they're not scoring and they're not generating scoring opportunities, I could see their ice time limited. I don't know if changing who's with them would change the result in Miller. Miller's a player who he goes to the net. So if Stamkos and Kucherov don't have the puck and aren't putting pucks on net, then what more can Miller do? He's sort of at the mercy of Stamkos and Cooch playing well on the offensive end. So this isn't on Miller at all. This is on two very talented Lightning forwards who are not pulling their weight right now. Kucherov specific to this series, Stamkos for basically now a stretch of about 20 games. So leave you with that, and we'll cut you another podcast Let's see. Friday night is game four. So tell you what, we'll probably wait. So we got a Sunday afternoon game. We'll get you another podcast come Monday for posting after game five of this series, wherever the series is at. The series could, I know Lightning fans want it to be over. Boston should have something more in game four than they've had in game two and game three. Again, they've been out hit and outworked, and it has to hurt the Bruins that they're being beaten with two of the Lightning's better offensive weapons and two of the better offensive weapons in the league doing next to nothing with virtually every shift. So I guess you don't have to have your best. You know, often the case when you win championships, your superstars play like superstars, and then you have a handful of other guys who play higher than their normal level. Right now, that doesn't apply. If anything, it's reversed. The rest of the Lightning roster have really picked it up, and two of the superstar players are not worth their time on the ice in Kucherov and Stamkos. Would that change in the next series against the Caps? I would imagine with Kuch it might. I don't. I say the Caps because they're up 2-1 against the Penguins. I think the Caps will win that series. But Stamkos, again, two goals in 20 games and one's an empty netter from center ice at the end of what was a really bad game for him. So not sure what it means going forward. The other night, as I was headed into game two, Phil Esposito was being asked by Greg Linnelli and Dave Mishkin, where's the Steven Stamkos who comes down aggressively into the offensive zone, pulls up, and just fires a shot on net? And Phil said, I don't know where that Steven Stamkos is. Don't know. All right, that does it for this edition of the Todd Wright Lightning Playoff Podcast. Again, subscribe so you have when the next playoff podcast posts. Again, Lightning up 2-1 and have gotten there in a very interesting fashion with physical, intense play, more the style of play the Bruins specialize in the last two games. The concern for the Lightning is what's wrong with Kucherov and Stamkos, and why are their shifts so bad in this series against the Boston Bruins? Kucherov played well in the New Jersey series. Stamkos has now been pretty much a non-factor for the better part of the last 20 games, going back to the last dozen of the regular season. So we'll talk to you after game five of the series and get you another podcast posted probably for the Monday following Game 5 at Amalie Arena between the Bruins and Lightning. Thank you very much for listening to the Todd Wright Lightning Playoff Podcast.